It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Nate Taylor is here. Nate, I'm going to ask you the question. Did you hear the question? Were you listening earlier?
Oh, of course I was. I heard the question.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm definitely smashing these two losses. I mean, come on. Are we not civic? Do we not have civic pride? For a lot of the reasons you mentioned...
Chiefs fans telling me weeks 3 and week 4 must win for the Chiefs. We got to get these next two wins.
So, like you were saying... In the previous segment, the game against the Falcons really doesn't matter because it doesn't equate to anything with the playoff seeding in the AFC. You still get the Chargers at home, so you don't have to win that game. I took my family to the ballpark on Wednesday. See, that they need help.
They need help.
They need some.
That's why I had to come up with this button.
They need help. I'm smashing it, dog. Can I do it now?
Yeah, please, Lord.
There's nothing more really gratifying as a sports fan than having like an actual good baseball team. I don't want this season to be tarnished by the fact that they collapsed in the last, 2 to 3 weeks of the regular season when Bobby Witt is probably having the greatest single game or single season in Royals history when you consider the fact that he's played in every game and, the 30-30. I mean, this has been a renaissance year for Salvador Perez. I feel like the franchise kind of needs to be rewarded based on all the offseason moves they made to bolster the pitching staff. It's unfortunate that Vinny got hurt. It's unfortunate that, the bullpen has not been as solid as we thought it was going to be, especially after the trade deadline. I mean, they've done everything they possibly can to just make the wild card. That's all I ask. Like, if they make the postseason, it's such a gratifying season because it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't really expect it. I mean, who knew Seth Lugo was going to be this good? I watched Alec Marsh give up just run after run in the first two innings, and I was just like...
Wednesday really broke you down.
It really did. I was in the ballpark. My son was like, are we going to make the playoffs? And it was the first time I was like...
You're like, I don't know, son.
I don't know, son. I mean, he was sad.
I could just... The thing is, I've been around your son enough to know. I could just tell you exactly how... He had his glove with him. He was excited to go to the game, and he left there. He was so heartbroken.
Yes, we had great seats. There was a little bit of momentum, I guess, in like the seventh, eighth inning. And then, we hit right into double plays. And it's like, well, son, that's baseball. It just works. It just works out that way.
Oh, you had to give him the life speech.
That's just baseball.
You had to give him the life speech.
You know, he had some words for Hunter Renfro.
I'm sure. He probably said, I can hit better than this guy.
Yeah, a 9-year-old is complaining about the lineup. I was like, oh, my son, he's here. He's got it.
You should have known when you paid to go see Robbie Grossman at cleanup for the Royals. You should have known that you were going to be in for a long day. All right, let me add, there are two major questions I want to get your opinion on, and we'll dive deep into this game over the course of the next hour. Now, in college football, we say this all the time. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
Correct.
Do we say that at other positions? Because right now, they have two left tackles. Does that mean that they have no left tackle?
I think they have a left tackle. It's just going to take longer than most fans here understand.
Do they know who that left tackle is?
Yeah, it's Kingsley. I mean, the long-term plan is for Kingsley Suamataia to be good.
What's the short-term plan? Only reason I ask you that is, we can read between the lines. And we talked about this on this show. On Wednesday, Andy could have ended this conversation.
Yeah.
Kingsley is our left tackle. It was a rough game, but we're behind him. He didn't do it. Matt Nagy, to me, he gave you even more uncertainty. Right. He was asked point blank, who's going to be your left tackle? Well, some things he still needs to work on. I was like, that's a no. And then today he said, we're going to rotate both of them in. Like, they've had every chance to really solidify that they believe in Kingsley. They took him out in the game. And this is different than what happened with Juwan Taylor. With Juwan Taylor, because of how much money he was making, there was no other option.
Correct.
From a financial standpoint, there's no different in Kingsley and Wanya Moore. So it really is the let the best man play.
Right.
has Kingsley proven that he is the best man? They have told us he's the best man, and they basically told us that all summer. Then we got to see him play in real games, and I'm not sure if he is.
But the issue then becomes, how much experience can you get a young guy so that he is ready for games that truly matter, as Rob has said, after Thanksgiving, right? They need to figure out this sooner rather than later at left tackle. But as I said before on this show, Carrington, you know this. They didn't even have a competition in training camp. I thought it was a bit odd for Andy Reid and Brett Veach in the offseason to be like, well, now that we've, you know, drafted Kingsley, it's going to be the best man. We're going to let the best man win. True competition. You know, that's why we wanted to, you know, go this route, so that we had obviously multiple options. Both of them younger than, of course, Donovan Smith, who's still a free agent. Well, they literally gave every first team rep to Kingsley Suamataia to prepare him. My belief was they gave him every rep possible to prepare him for the opener. Now, he did pretty well against the Baltimore Ravens. He somehow went from being like competent to okay to like terrible in a matter of like a couple hours. It's one of the weirdest performances.
He went against one of the better pass rushers. Like, Trey Hendrickson's really good.
He just
doesn't get the hype that some of the other guys is. But Trey Hendrickson, I mean, he's been that best player on that Bengals defense ever since he came over from the Saints. And it was very obvious that their plan was, let's line him up against the rookie, and we are going to make this guy's day a living hell. And it worked.
Ooh, it really did. Now, I don't think Matthew Judon is the same as Trey Hendrickson. So you kind of, you can win Sunday's game with either guy, whether it's Kingsley Suamataia or Wanya Morris. Similar to what happened last year with Juwan Taylor, Andy took him off the field in Jacksonville, and then it took longer than probably Chiefs fans wanted, but he slowly got back to like his average form of play, his average level of performance. Can you get that from Kingsley if he's sitting on the bench in weeks 3, 4, 5? Like, I just, you've made the investment already. You've traded up in the second round for him. It's helpful that you have Wanya Morris, because he's in year two. So he can play both right and left tackle depending on the situation. But it's one thing for the coaches to have to say, well, oh, he just needs experience. For everybody in the locker room of veteran status, including Travis Kelce, when I asked him after the game on Sunday, no, man. Sometimes you got to learn what it takes to get beat, so that it clearly shows you, okay, this is what I need to get better at. This is how I get, you know, the most consistency I can, even though obviously all these experiences are new for me. You can't say that and then a week later be like, hey, man, just chill. So I know Andy Reid's partly saying today about the rotating of left tackles because, I mean, I guess the Atlanta Falcons have to study for both. Not that it really matters.
If you watch in film on Kingsley Suamataia, you've lost the game. You got other problems.
So,
you know, the things.
Yeah, I mean, I have Kelce, Rashee Rice, Patrick Mahomes.
We got this dude that ran a 4.24. I don't be watching film on him.
Yeah, so like, I don't know what advantage it gives the Chiefs to be like, we don't know, you know, 2 hours before kickoff. But like a lot of guys I talked to this week, Andy's track record is letting the guy play through it. You have to be so bad, not only to get benched, but ultimately to get replaced at your position in September. It honestly just doesn't happen, even with someone who's a rookie.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. There's a lot of stuff I want to get your opinion on coming up on the other side. We're going to talk about Travis Kelce, who took a lot of accountability on the New Heights podcast.
Yes, he did.
We want to get your thoughts on his first two games of the year, the last 10 regular season games. I'll give you my stat on him. Are you worried at all about Travis Kelce? I don't know if you know this or not, but Patrick Mahomes has more receiving yards than Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, and Sky Moore all combined. Is that going to continue this week? There's a lot of things to talk to you about. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We got Nate Taylor in studio. His appearance on The Drive is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Call 816-221-1750. Hit up our guy, Mark Ferguson. All right, there is a lot of things to talk to you about in relation to this game. First off, let me get two kind of nonsense questions out of the way before we get to the very serious football thing. I asked Rob this question. Now, you have been to all of these places before. What city would you consider to be white Atlanta?
White Atlanta?
What city is white Atlanta? Rob thinks that it's either Nashville or Austin.
Nashville. Nashville in a heartbeat. It's so dang white down there. What is it called? Boardwalk, whatever place that is?
It's Broadway, right?
Broadway, excuse me. Boardwalk, Broadway, it's all the same.
Rob got offended. You said it the wrong way. What? You.
I've been to the Grand Ole Opry. They love it down there. I mean, come on.
I called Beale Street the wrong thing on this show once, and Carrington crushed me.
I was like, come on now. He's about to fight. Look, he's about to fight.
So look, I've been to, like, they got the Country Music Museum down there. I mean, you want to, I guess I'll see all these photos of Dolly Parton because that's y'all's icon. But no, it's pretty white in Nashville.
Okay, who has better chicken wings, Buffalo or Atlanta?
Atlanta.
I don't know if Rob will believe you there.
Well, it depends on, like, I'm someone who loves lemon pepper wings. So when I put that up against the traditional Buffalo wings in Buffalo, which are good. I'm not saying they aren't good.
Buffalo sauce isn't even a top five flavor. We've evolved past regular Buffalo sauce.
True. Yeah. I mean, like, it's not like, I don't even, if you go to like Wingstop or Buffalo Wild Wings, like, it's not like, I can't wait to get this Buffalo sauce. So yeah, I understand that. I mean, this isn't blasphemy, but I think the peanuts wing sauce is better than probably most of the things that are available in Buffalo. I'm sorry, Rob.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know this. I've never been to Buffalo before, so you're just telling me something about what
goes
good in Buffalo.
It's good, but like...
Have you ever seen anybody get pile driven through a table before when you were in Buffalo? Or lit on fire? Those are two important questions.
It was too cold to be lit on fire in January.
That's the right time to be lit on fire. It's cold outside.
But I didn't see anybody, like, with my own eyes get smashed through tables. But, man, they were liquored up for that divisional round, man.
Just to go home sad and heartbroken. That's terrible.
Man, it's also one of those old stadiums where, like, the reporters have to actually go outside to get to the locker room because the locker room's like not under the stadium like the way it normally is. So yeah, man, when he missed that field goal and like everybody started rushing down to the locker room, just don't even look anybody in the eye. They are distraught.
It was heartbroken. All right, let me get your let's start with Travis Kelce and then
okay,
we'll move on.
Sure.
So I had a stat earlier in the week, and people were very, very angry at me for the stat. So the stat is Travis Kelce in his last 10 regular season games has 43 catches for 440 yards and one touchdown. Now, that does take out the postseason in which he was able to turn back the clock. One reason, I don't think people want to say it, but one reason they are worried about the offense in this game is, for the first time, you don't know what version of Travis Kelce you're going to get. If we all thought that they were going to get good Travis Kelce,
right,
this game isn't one you need to worry about. You got Rashee Rice, you got Travis Kelce that takes the pressure off Carson Steele. You got enough offense, but if you get four catches for 40-yard Travis Kelce, you're going to need somebody else to kind of step up, I think, on the road in this scenario.
Yeah.
Do you think that this show, because I think we have been at the forefront of this, do you think we are overreacting about Travis Kelce? Mm. What is your take of his first 2 weeks?
I don't think it's an overreaction, but it is definitely something that I would put in the need to monitor over the next month, right? Now, that includes the bye week, so, you know, there's three games left, but I don't want to overreact because I thought their game plan was very specific for the Baltimore Ravens, which is get Rashee Rice the ball in space, and then let's show our new toy in Xavier Worthy. And, you know, because of Pacheco and the fact that, you know, teams are going to play too high, you are going to hand the ball off to him more than we've seen in the past. I think last week's game is a little bit more concerning just because it took sort of a breakdown scramble drill. Like, there's not really been much in structure for the connection of Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Now, when Mahomes breaks the pocket, Travis Kelce is still the greatest tight end in the world to sort of ad-lib with the quarterback. Now that you've had more than a week to get through the, you know, the unfortunate news of Hollywood Brown, now that you know you're not going to have Isaiah Pacheco, this is where it gets very game plan specific, and I do think you start to lean more on Travis Kelce. I still think he hasn't ran a lot of, like, sophisticated routes. Like, I'm looking at his route chart. It's, you know, and this is via Next Gen Stats. Like, it's okay, but it's not great. Like, he's not doing double moves, up and unders, like, there or out and ups, I should say. There's not that many corner routes. He has ran a couple posts, a couple over routes in the middle of the field, but, like, you know, there's more that they can do with him. So if he struggles against the Falcons, then I will have mild concerns. And if that continues against the Los Angeles Chargers, then I think it is time to sort of reevaluate the offense and based on how prolific it can be if Kelce's not someone who's going to guarantee you giving you 75 yards and a touchdown.
I made this point earlier in the week, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on, I guess, two Vegas lines. Because you and I think most people subscribe to the Vegas knows.
Yeah.
They have Kelce's over-under at 4.5. They have his yards right now at 47.5. If there has ever been a time where people are doubting Travis Kelce and there's a way for you to exploit the market, because you remember, when we first found out he was dating Taylor Swift,
yes,
the numbers were just through the roof. Travis Kelce was he was the favorite to score a touchdown in every game, the yards, because people were betting on Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Now I think you've seen the pendulum swing in the opposite direction, where this is the ideal bounce-back game for Mahomes when how he played in week two, and also Travis Kelce.
Right.
This was probably the worst that the Chiefs have played in a win since that late-season game against Atlanta a couple years ago. Remember that game against Atlanta? Yeah, late in the year. Yeah. The Chiefs played like they wanted to be anywhere else but there. They knew the Falcons weren't good. We could turn in whatever and we can still win.
Right.
Sunday, they probably should have lost that game. Now, you get credit for figuring out a way to win. This feels like the ideal bounce back spot for your quarterback and your number one pass catching option.
Yes. And he needs to be involved in third downs. He needs to be involved in the red zone. And even with some play action, you know, I think one way to help your offensive tackle situation is to run screens for Travis Kelce, to do rollouts, to do play action to where the pass rusher and the defense have to identify run and then obviously adjust to the pass. It would be helpful if they got a lead and they actually did what they were supposed to do, which is build on the lead. I think that's been one of the bigger criticisms of the unit as a whole. Like, when the defense has given them a chance to double up against the Ravens on opening night, Patrick throws an interception right before halftime. Let's, you know, basically gives three free points to the Ravens. They had a chance against the Cincinnati Bengals to sort of build on their first drive. Okay, the defense gets a three and out. Okay, we've forced another field goal. Like, we're doing our part, and the offense has three turnovers. So if they can just string better drives together, then that should allow them to have, you know, a little bit more success. But this should not be hard. Like, you should just, whether we're splitting him out wide, whether that's him in more traditional formation, there's ways to get Travis Kelce the ball. And he has, you know, I've said this before, like, he has been open, but he's not been, like, so wide open that, like, we could all look at the screen and go, what is Patrick doing? Instead, Patrick kind of tried to force him one, and that, again, allowed the Cincinnati Bengals back into the game instead of the Chiefs sort of building on a lead.
This show is very split on Carson Steele. Do you think that it's going to be a he's the running back one, or do you think we have entered running back by committee phase? Because Rob thinks that Samaje Perine is going to be very involved in the rushing game, not the receiving game. I think we all think they're going to throw it to him out of the backfield.
Right.
Rob thinks he's getting carries. I don't think he gets carries. So the over-under number for Carson Steele right now in rush yards is 42.5. And to me, this is a question really about volume.
Right.
If you think Carson Steele gets 13 carries, an NFL running back gets 40 yards on 13 carries.
Sure, yeah.
So do you think the Chiefs are going to treat him like he's their number one running back, or do you think it's more of a Carson gets 9 carries, Samaje Perine gets 5 carries, Keontae Ingram gets a couple, Patrick Mahomes runs it 3 or 4 times, and you end up getting a 20, but you get it in the aggregate?
So this is where it gets really tricky, because Carson Steele is such a new commodity, right? We don't really know what to expect week to week because he is a rookie. Obviously, he had the fumble against the Bengals. On first thought, I think he will get the majority of the carries. As I wrote in The Athletic, Carson Steele is expected to be the starter. Samaje Perine will continue to be the third down back. If you need Keontae Ingram to fill in, he will be there to fill in. Here's where it gets tricky, though, because how many carries does Andy Reid and Matt Nagy give Carson Steele to make sure that, like, he's not awful? Like, is it 6? Is it 7? You give him a couple drives and you're like, well, his yards per attempt are like 2. It's not really great. But for Rob to say, well, what about Samaje Perine? I mean, he hasn't carried the ball yet this season. So they'll give him a handful, but I think the majority will probably go to Carson Steele if he plays, you know, to expectation, which is like, hey, get average 3 to 4 yards a carry. Don't go backwards. Don't fumble. I just think they're going to try to piecemeal this as best they can. But Samaje Perine, he needs to be on the field just to protect Patrick at all costs. I mean, he's the last line of defense, especially as of now. We don't know who the left tackle is, even though I believe will probably be Kingsley Suamataia. So Isaiah Pacheco got 19 carries against the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's give Carson Steele. Well, it also depends on the game script too. Like, again, as I said before, can the Chiefs build on a lead? Can you get up 10 points on the Falcons? Because if that's the case, then I might say, hey, maybe Carson Steele does get 18, 19, 20 carries.
Yeah, then they're just grinding them.
You just obviously try to keep the clock moving. But if it's a back and forth game, I don't know if Carson Steele gets more than 14 carries. So it's a tricky situation. I am interested from a prop bet standpoint, because I definitely think he can score a touchdown based on short yardage. He is still their best option on 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, if you're going to actually hand the ball off.
Let me cut you out there. Sorry, yeah. Real quick. Do you think he's their best option in 2 weeks whenever Kareem Hunt is on the team?
What situation are we talking about?
A short yardage. Let's say it is. Let's say it is 3rd and 1 from the 5-yard line, kind of like what they just had on Sunday in Cincinnati, and they ended up doing it.
I still might give it to Carson Steele because that's fresh legs, and until I see it with Kareem Hunt, although he is a bigger back and clearly powerful, I don't know if you want to push him there quite yet. Also, too, you can more run. I think people need to remember this, too. You can also run more plays for Carson Steele out of more various formations because he does have the fullback and running back responsibilities within the playbook. So you could split him behind Patrick to the side. He could obviously line up somewhere in that fullback role and obviously have a fullback dive or a fullback counter. There's more ways of getting him the ball where the defense doesn't quite know where he's going. But yeah, in 2 weeks, until I see Kareem Hunt, I would still give the nod to Carson.
I know we haven't seen Hollywood Brown in this offense, but which absence do you think is more crippling? Do you think it's Pacheco or Hollywood Brown?
I think it's Pacheco, just because you knew what you were getting. And unfortunately, Pacheco was playing at a really high level.
For really like the last like 10 games, even if you count the postseason, he's turned into a, he's not going to get you 125 yards,
right?
But he's going to get you between 70 and 90 every single week. Yes. And that's really, really valuable.
And he was already starting to be even more effective as a receiver too. I mean, in just two games, based on the two high shell coverage, cover four looks, I mean, he had seven receptions for 54 yards. So he's getting you, you know, more than 7 yards per touch as a receiver out of the backfield too. He was averaging 4 yards a carry through two games before the injury, of course. So I think there's more consistency in knowing what to expect from the running back, especially now that we know that the interior of the offensive line is still very good with Joe Tooney coming back from his pectoral injury. I thought Hollywood had a really, really good training camp, and it's just really, really unfortunate that we won't necessarily see what he looks like fully healthy in this offense. But even with him being a new piece, I still think Pacheco was probably the more reliable player, considering that he has shown so much growth from obviously his rookie season into year three.
Right now we got Nate Taylor in studio. I guess take us through the decision to bring Kareem Hunt back, because I'm sure I kind of put it in this category. You know that Justin Houston's been available at least four times, and the Justin Houston move always made sense, but we just had the, oh, they're not bringing Justin Houston back. Like, everybody just kind of knew they're not bringing Justin Houston back.
Carrington, they're not making a call, let alone coming back. Why would we call him? Yeah.
So for this, I just always thought it was good while it lasted. We know what happened that got you kicked off the team. He is a player that we are not interested in. Now, desperate times call for desperate measures, and there are not a lot of great options in week three of the NFL season. If you want a veteran running back, you're getting someone who is not currently working. This is somebody who knows the system, knows Pat, knows Andy, knows Travis.
Yep.
You assume he will be on his best behavior when he's here. Take us through the decision to bring him back, and when he gets healthy, what do you see his role as?
So the last time that the Chiefs could have had this conversation, this is more hypothetical than what actually happened, was in 2020 when Kareem, after being reinstated from the league after his 8-game suspension with the Browns, was a free agent. And there wasn't a ton of, like, now I will say he did play well with Cleveland. He did show that he was still a consistent, productive player. But the Chiefs at the time were trying to figure it out with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, they just drafted him. So there was no reason to even, like, again, pick up the phone and really have a conversation or talk about it. You know, he signs a 2-year deal. Okay, that's fine. Then he signed another 1-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. And so I guess 2023, you could have, this is before the 2023 season, I guess you could have had a conversation. But hey, you struck gold with Isaiah Pacheco as a 7th round draft pick. So again, there's no reason for them to ever have a conversation about Kareem Hunt until Monday morning, when they realized Isaiah Pacheco was going to need surgery and he was going to be out, as I've reported, at least 8 weeks. So you need 2 months. You don't have a lot of time. Andy Reid said that Brett Veach had a list. Again, I don't know how long that list is. Maybe it was 4 or 5 people. Of course, Jerick McKinnon is one of them. He's not interested at the moment.
You think so, that they would have brought back McKinnon? I don't know if there's a reason to have McKinnon and have Samaje Perine on the team.
There is some, obviously, there's some doubling of skills. But
I really wanted them to get Damian Harris. That was the one I kind of wanted them to get.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that Dalvin Cook went to Dallas, if I remember correctly, right? He's on their practice squad. So
they could have got him, but the Cowboys probably would have protected him.
Yes.
But then, my question would be is, if Dalvin Cook can't be on the active roster for the Cowboys, then
what's going on?
He's really cooked, because they got the worst running back room in the league. You're telling me he can't play? I love Deuce Vaughn. Deuce Vaughn ain't proved he an NFL running back. If you can't be ahead of him in the depth chart, something's going on.
They are playing Ezekiel Elliott in our Lord and Savior's 2024 season. That's crazy.
As their number one back, too. It'd be one thing if he was like your Kareem Hunt, right? He's like your, hey, we bring him in, veteran guy. No, that's your number one back.
Yeah. So, okay, no Dalvin Cook. Again, I mean, he's in the best shape of his life, sure. Anyway, so at some point it's like, well, how quickly can we get somebody up to speed? As I've said before, it's easier to get a running back integrated into the offense faster than a tight end or a receiver, because there's just more things you're having to do, blocking, play in space, obviously get timing with the quarterback. So they had a conversation on Monday. And I guess Clark Hunt was like, I mean, you have to remember all these factors have to come into play. They have to be going for a three-peat. They have to have an injury this early in the season, but one that's going to extend for, again, 2 months period. There's, as we've talked about, nobody else available. His name kind of gets brought up, and it's like, well, I guess we should talk to Clark. And it's just like, Clark's like, is he going to be on his best behavior? Well, why don't we just bring him in on Tuesday?
And let's find out.
And let's find out. And you know,
he was here on Monday, and they just actually did the workout on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, sure. Yeah. But the phone,
I'm just saying is, yeah, I'm saying is
the
like
phone
the
call
fact that
and all that
I'm
happened, is, yes, was
all,
Monday.
All of that stuff happened. He was here on Monday. They had that sit-down yes. conversation. Then it was a then we'll get to the workout part yes. of it. Yeah.
So the workout was good. He's in shape. He looks fine based on the limited portions of practice that we get to see throughout the week. My understanding was that the earliest he could play was against the Chargers next week, so it's no surprise that Andrew Reid said, hey, let's just get him in as much conditioning and, you know, get used to obviously working with his teammates, and then obviously we'll build him up based on what his limited role will be against the Chargers. So with all that said, we did not see Kareem Hunt at any point outside of the practice field. They're like, you want to interview him? Get out of here. He's on the practice squad, and he's getting his, you know, his you-know-what in the playbook. This is as shocking of a roster acquisition that I can remember that happened so quickly for so many different reasons, but it's understandable at the same time. But I even asked Andrew Reid, like, did you ever think this was happening? And he never said no, but he gave me a lot of filler for about a minute and a half. And I'm like, just coach, just say you're shocked as I am. Just say it, man. It's okay. So for Kareem Hunt, this is an unbelievable turn of events. Like, he couldn't have found a better place to really, you know, have a twilight to his career. So with Patrick Mahomes being okay with this, with Andy Reid being okay with this, Brett Veach eventually gets to Clark Hunt, man, can you just be serviceable for the next month or two to just give us a little bit of stability at the running back position? And then, look, we'll see what happens if Isaiah Pacheco surgery, you know, indeed went well and his rehab goes, you know, pretty smooth over the next, again, 6 to 8 weeks. But as someone who wants to play for a contender, as someone who felt that, you know, there's obviously a redemptive arc to this, I mean, I was told he wants to do right by the organization because he knew he failed the organization based on his actions when he was, what, 23, 24? You don't rarely get this second opportunity, but I'm fascinated to see, A, how he handles it and how the Chiefs try to use him, because he is not – I just want to remind people, he is not the same player he was in 2019. I watched some of them highlights, Carrington, and I remember – wow, he was from a football player, he was special, especially in that offense. But he's just not the same player he was. So anything he gives you, you have to look at it as a bonus, not as a requirement or something that you come to expect, given he has no training camp, he has no preseason, he hasn't played a game in almost a year now, and they're asking him to give some contribution basically after joining the team in 2 weeks.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. Coming up on the other side, I am a little bit nervous about this game. I'll tell you why I'm nervous about this game. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I have a theory about football fans, and this is, I don't care what team, doesn't matter. We all, before the beginning of the season, make predictions on what we think a team's record is going to be. And yeah, then at some point over the course of the season, you then have to pick that team to lose. Like, nah, they're not losing that game. Well, you had them going 12-5. That means they lose five times this season. What five games you got them losing then?
Yeah.
We had the topic, and I asked you this. You remember, I asked you this in the offseason. I will give you $1 million. You tell me the game that you think the Chiefs lose first. I told you Atlanta feels like a right answer on this one.
You did.
Coming into it, Chiefs banged up running back right now. Uncertainty at left tackle. Big win for the Atlanta Falcons back at home, Sunday night football. I'm worried about this game.
Yeah, and my pick at the time was the Chiefs losing their first game on, I guess, October 20th.
Yeah, to San Francisco.
To San Francisco. I looked at San Francisco's injury report. Ooh,
it's
buddy.
Bad. It's bad.
Ooh, buddy. So, yeah, I mean, there's always a game since that 2020 season. I mean, I guess even including 2020 season, because remember they lost that home game to the Raiders where Gruden had them go circles around the stadium. So stupid. But there's always a game in the Chiefs season where they lose a game where you're like, there's no way they should lose that game. Now, you can say Kirk Cousins still not totally healthy, but they got weapons over there. And so, yeah, I know you don't know this answer, Carrington, off the top of your head, but I do ask myself, what's the best game in Kyle Pitts' career? And why is it probably not going to be until Sunday night?
You're worried about Kyle Pitts?
I am.
Because this show...
I'm worried about Bijan and Kyle Pitts.
I'm worried about Bijan. Okay. I think Bijan has turned into a top five back in the league.
He's really good.
I think Bijan has...
He's great.
...has turned into a guy that he could run for 100 yards in this game or have 40 yards receiving in this game. Whew. That just makes him really, really difficult to stop. Now, Rob makes this point a little bit more than me about the Falcons as a whole, but I think that Kyle Pitts is the embodiment of it. Kyle Pitts, we've done a lot of talking about a guy who is a top five pick who ain't done nothing in 3 years. He hasn't. Kyle Pitts is one of the more overrated players in the league, and I get it. He was picked high, so you blamed everybody else for why Kyle Pitts. Oh, it's the quarterback. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's this. It's year four. If you got it, we will find out at the end of this season. Because Drake London looks like he has it.
Yeah.
Darnell Mooney looks really good on Monday Night Football. Ray McCloud looks like a legitimate third or fourth option. Kyle Pitts still looks like Kyle Pitts. Same guy.
But he might be riding routes against the likes of Nick Bolton and Justin Reed, which if you care for Pro Football Focus.
You said Nick Bolton like he was a curse word. That's what you said.
I'm just saying.
He cursed.
Pro Football Focus says there's a couple holes on the Chiefs defense through 2 weeks. It's called Nick Bolton and, to a lesser degree, Justin Reed has been great in man coverage against tight ends. Now, that obviously could change. He has a better track record in coverage, of course, than Nick Bolton. So he could be running some routes in the middle of the field, get open for Kirk Cousins. Carrington, against the Philadelphia Eagles, Bijan Robinson had 14 carries for 97 yards. According to Next Gen Stats, he had plus 23 yards over expected, which means he making a lot of people miss. Yeah. He making a lot of people miss. So the Chiefs have yet to face a running back of this quality this season, so that'll be fascinating. And I don't know who Trent McDuffie guards, but I would tell Kirk Cousins, throw the ball anywhere else. Whoever Trent McDuffie's covering, take a deep breath.
The only reason I don't think it's happened for McDuffie yet is because he doesn't have the interception numbers.
True.
But in coverage, he has been as good as Sauce Gardner. He's been as good as Patrick Surtain II. But we all know how this works. Kind of like if you play on the D-line and you don't get sacks, kind of hard for people to talk about you. Mm-hmm. If you play corner and you never get an interception, people just aren't going to consider you to be one of those guys, even though every other metric will tell you that Trent McDuffie is one of those guys.
Yes, Trent McDuffie is honestly like a top five quarterback in the league. Ladies and gentlemen, Trent McDuffie, your first round pick, has played in 29 career games in the regular season. He's played 7 postseason games. He is a back-to-back champion. No interceptions. 0.
That first one he gets, I mean, that 15-yard penalty that he's going to rack up when he finally gets one.
You think you're going to do what was it, Drake London?
Yeah.
Nah, man.
He might shoot off 2 of those guns.
There was nothing
better. He might be like Lacey from LSU.
Yes, yes, yes. Bazooka's out here. Coach, what do you say to Drake London when he does the machine guns in the air? And God bless Raheem Moore. It was just like, I think that was a t-shirt gun he was talking about. We're like, Coach, stop it.
That is what he did. I was like, bro, you know you can't do that. The NFL lets you do a lot of celebrations. You know you can't do that celebration. Drake London, like, come on. That was silly.
Yeah, they let Tyreek Hill put his arms behind his back so that he could get arrested. But hey, man, just put the gun down. Put the imaginary gun down. Yeah, it's going to be a fun matchup just because – The Falcons, again, this might sound weird to some people in the audience, but like the Falcons have more options than the Bengals, because the Bengals really had like
they got more options than the Ravens do.
And that was, yes, you're leading me right to my point. Like, So the Ravens, it was like, okay, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, and obviously Azalea Likely. Man, Joe Burrow was throwing to Mike Gesicki 7 times. And obviously he had Ja'Marr Chase, but Ja'Marr Chase was being guarded by Trent McDuffie for much of the game. Well, you know, for Atlanta, there's just more options. They have better running backs, and I mean that multiple, because Algier was just as good when he touched the ball against the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, they have like 3 legitimate receivers for the Atlanta Falcons. So this is a true test. The only difference now is you're going from the most elusive mobile quarterback to a statue. Like, I'm the best part about Kirk Cousins' comeback against the Eagles, carry tip was 1, 2, 3, ball out, baby.
Every time.
1, 2, 3, 5, ball out. I mean, he was 1, 2, 3 out. Like, I'm not, even though it's we have no timeouts, even though it's a race against the clock, and the Eagles can pass, you know, can rush the passer occasionally. Yeah, man, when I get to this back foot, the ball's coming out, guys. I don't care if it's an interception or not. I am not getting hit. So if you know where he's going to be in terms of his dropbacks, and he's not really going to move off that within the pocket, then, hey, Chris Jones, go out there and dominate. George Karlaftis, come off the edge and be generate more pressure than you showed over these first 2 weeks. And I imagine Steve Spagnuolo will have more blitzes lined up just because there's not the threat of if we miss him on the blitz, he can run for 10, 12, 15 yards that even Joe Burrow can do on occasion. So the Falcons have more options, but I do think the Chiefs should be aggressive considering that Kirk Cousins is still playing with quite the injury.
I'm picking him, but I don't feel great about it. I'm picking him because you should very rarely pick against the Chiefs, right, and they have Patrick Mahomes as their right quarterback. That's why I'm picking him. But I asked Rob this question. Is there any other team that you would pick in this scenario on the road against a team that both you and I think is decent? Your starting running back is out. One of your key wide receivers is out. You also don't have your left tackle. There are many teams I would pick to win right in this scenario. I'm picking the Chiefs because they're the Chiefs.
It's going
to
be a lot closer than maybe people think, just because the Falcons are new and they played so bad in the first game of the season against the Steelers, it's hard to take them seriously. But if they get into more hurry up opportunities, right, if they get into a rhythm, they can go score for score with the Chiefs. And because of protecting the most valuable asset in franchise history is kind of a question mark, it's understandable why you should be nervous about this game, because if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, then the entire season is altered. And that's the burden that's on Kingsley Suamataia. Not only are you a rookie left tackle going up against the most maniacal freaks in the league when it comes to rushing the passer, man, you're protecting like the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. So please don't screw up in the third game of the season and torpedo our chance to do something historic. So if you tell me Patrick Mahomes plays all 4 quarters, I'll be with you. Chiefs win. But if there's real struggles protecting Mahomes, if they have to adjust their offense to give him time to throw the ball to Travis Kelce, then, yeah, there's going to be a chance for Kirk Cousins to kind of do what he did this Monday. Hey, you might get the ball with a chance to win the game late in the fourth quarter.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us in studio. He does fantastic work with The Athletic. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the Chiefs. We'll get to the Royals. This is a busy sports weekend in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Fan.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.